That's what God did.
Okay, he did a good job. Okay. There's a pasuk in the mitzvah in Parashas Shoftim that you should go up to the Chachamim and, you know, with your questions, and then and don't deviate from what they tell you. Whatever the Chachamim tell you, you have to listen. So there's a mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim. What exactly are the Chachamim saying that the Torah is saying that we have to listen to them? So there's a lot of different levels. There are some time, meaning there are the Chachamim telling us about Dereises and the Chachamim telling us about Derabbanans. That might come as a surprise, right? You might think that Leisaster is only relevant to Derabbanans. Really, the main meaning of Leisaster is about Dereises, because we need a lot of help from the Chachamim to understand what the Torah means. So they have to tell us certain things that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai that were passed down through the generations. So, for example, you know, what tefillin are exactly, what they look. It says, but that it's a black box that has these four parashas inside. There are straps that they should also be black. All of that, halacha Moshe Sinai. So how do I know it? I hear it from the Chachamim. So there's a mitzvah of Leisaser that I have to listen to what the Chachamim is saying about that. Then there's Dereises that are, let's say, halachas that I learned from the Yigum Midah, so darshan from the psukim, interpretations of the psukim, like it says, where it says, like Savash Gadiba Chalevi Moy, which is a great example because that's one of the most ambiguous mitzvahs in the Torah, which we also had in Parshas Shoftim. In Parshas Re'eh, 2 weeks ago. We had like Savash Gadiba Chalevi Moy. We say that means you don't eat fleshings and melachings. But really, all it says in the pasuk that's clear is that you can't cook a piece of meat in the milk that came from that animal's mother. But the Chachamim told us that it really means much more than that. It means any meat in any milk is usser. But only the meat of an animal, not the meat of poultry. Poultry is not included in midei rice in the mitzvah. So that expansion, that it means any meat of any animal together with the milk of any animal, that's dereisa, but it's the Rabbanon's interpretation, either because they were taught that, or because they figured it out with the Yigum Midos. So that's included in Leisaster, that we have to accept what Chacham tell us. So if a person says, no, I don't believe that. I don't think that all meat and all milk should be included in Bas B'chal. Bas B'chal should just mean the meat in its mother's milk. So and he goes and he eats, you know, other Bas B'chal. So in addition to being over the lab of Leisaster, he's also over the lab of Leisaster, because he's not accepting what the Chacham told him is the meaning of the mitzvah.
Like Ayin Tachas Ayin.
Right, Ayin Tachas Ayin. If somebody says, okay, you know, in my court, we're going to take out the eye, really, so he's violating Leisaser because he's not accepting what the Chacham told him. So those are all examples of Leisaser on Dereises.
So all limudim from Shloshes, all kalvuchimers and gzeres shavus, all
right, everything that's subject to interpretation, and the Chazal tells this is the interpretation. The Sanhedrin says this is the interpretation. So that's bam. We're then bam by Leisaser. The Rambam has a chiddush. The famous chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam says there's a third category also, besides for things that are Masir from Har Sinai, and besides for things that are darshan from the Yigum Midos. There's also Leisaser on Drabbanans, on plain, real Drabbanans. Like, the Rabbanan made up a new mitzvah, Chanukah, Purim, Til Tzidayim, Erev. The Rabbanan made up Isurim, Shnei Slarayas, carrying in a caramelis, Besar Oif Pachol, like we were just talking about before, right? The Besar Pachol Medei Reis only includes the meat of a behema, but the meat of a oif, like chicken, as maybe a lot of people don't realize, but chicken with milk eggs is really not asmi dereisa, it's only asmi drabanan. The Rambam says that all of those are also included in Leisaser. Leisaser, the Rambam says, has three categories: halacha moshe misinais, drushes of the Yom Midas, and drabanan. The Rabbanans say do this, not because the Torah meant it, or the Torah means it, or the Torah is saying it. Do it because we want you to do it. We're making up something new, but we're telling you to follow. You have to follow, and you're bound by Leisaser. And if you don't follow, the Rambam says, then you're over the lav of Leisaser.
So every Rabbon is the Leisaser.
So that, right, exactly. So that's the surprising consequence of this chiddush of the Rambam. Every Rabbonon becomes a Dereisa. The Torah, of course, never said anything about Chanukah or Purim, and the Torah never said not to carry in a caramelis. But if I carry in a caramelis, I'm violating a deiraisa, the deiraisa of listening to the chachamim. And I was sermon adavar because I'm carrying in the Carmelist, or I'm not reading the Megillah, or lining near Hanukkah, or near Shabbos. Right? All of those are derabbanans. According to the Rambam, they're really deiraisa because by not listening to the chachamim, you're violating the law of leisasman adavar. Not only that, a little bit of an ironic twist. The Rambam says it's not just one deiraisa. It's two deraisas because there's a loisas of loisas and a davar, and there's also an asay al piadvar mashayirucham, vasisa al piadvar mashayirucham. No, al piadvar mashayirucham luchatasa, I think is the lesson I'm looking for. So, since there's this asay also, so if somebody violates a drabanon, he's over a loisas and an asay. So now, here comes something very strange. If a person eats a clear-cut deraisa, he eats a piece of nevela. It's also mi deraisa. He's over a leisasa. If a person eats besar oif b'chalav, which is much less chomer because that's not deraisa, that's only drabanon, zok the Rambam, then you're over two deraisas. On the nevela, you're only over one deraisa. But on this, you're over two deraisas because it's drabanon, and drabanon are bound by you're bound by leisaser and al piadvarim. So there's the leisaser and the essay of drabanons. So all the drabanons just are catapulted even ahead of deraisas. So that's the big.
Tell you to keep the deraisas.
You mean if you asked your rabbi, should I keep deraisas? Yeah, he would say yes. Yeah. But it's not. There was no formal piece of legislation on the part of the drabanon to keep deraisas.
Does anybody argue with the rabbi?
Yes.
Yes. How can you argue with that?
Okay, so be patient.
You can't.
Okay, so that's the Chiddush of the Rambam, and like it said, it seems very strange. Even though it seems surprising that wow, something that's only drabanan should be as chomer or even more chomer than something that's deraisa, but you know, it says if you think about it, the Rambam is right. It says in the Torah leisaser, so you can't listen. You can't go away from the drabanans. The Ramban argues. The Ramban, I'm going to tell you, he uses a very, very colorful language. This is the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Sherish Rishon. He says the Rambam built a great fortress around the Drabanans. And he just put them onto a pedestal that gave them greater stature than we ever thought before. So he says the Rambam built a Chaimah Gavoya de Lasayim of Riach, a very strong fortress around the Drabanans, but it's like a fortress with a weak brick at the bottom, and you pull out that brick and the whole wall comes tumbling down. And the weak brick over here is that there's a...
Where's the Ramban?
The Ramban is in Sherish Rishon in the Sefer HaMitzvos. And the weak brick is that, he said, it's refuted or it's contradicted virtually from every page of the Talmud, Ramban says. Why? Forget about like Bikias, you know, throwing out this Gemara, that Gemara, that Gemara, that Gemara. Anybody that has a little bit of background in learning Talmud Bavli knows it's a constant theme that runs through Shas that there are different levels of Deraisas and Drabanans. And for all sorts of things, we're more machmer in Deraisas than we are in Drabanans. The most prominent is that a Deraisa, a Suffolk Deraisa goes L'chumra, and a Suffolk Drabanan goes L'kula. There's a halacha that when it comes to Eidos, so the Gemara in Pesachim says that since B'dikas Chametz is only drabanon, so we're allowed to rely on Ketanim for their Eidos. The Gemara in Aaron says a similar thing about Tchum Shabbos. It's only drabanon, we rely on Ketanim. So you have many places where the Gemara says that because it's only drabanon, we could be more makel. And according to the Rambam, drabanan, why is that a basis to be more makel? If every drabanan is a deraisa, so there are no two levels. All the halachas are deraisa. So why do we have these two levels? The Ramban says there's also a stronger kasha.
I'm just thinking like Shabbos. You have an alf malacha, and you have the first level, and then yeah, you have the Rambam is sort of like that. It's on the second level.
But why should it even be a level down if it's a real leisasa? And we said it's a leisasa and an asay.
The Losa says not listening to the Rabbanan. It's not
okay. Right. That may be a good basis to make a distinction. We'll come to that. We'll come to that.
Just one. I remember that There's a if I remember, there's a Tosfos in Kiddushin that says when it comes to Kiddushin and Rabbanan added extra requirements and whatever. I think the Gemara says there that even though Kiddushin is Doraisa, but I forgot the language. Kol, that whoever.
Kol the Kaddish and Dech the Rabbanan Makadish.
Right, that
the Rabbanan and the Kiddushin.
What? I'm sorry.
Afke Inhu? Is that what you're looking for?
No. Kol the Makadish.
Rabbanan Makadish,
right?
Okay.
So you have a Rabbanan that they're making the requirements stricter, even though Kiddushin is Doraisa, so that Chumrah of the Rabbanan becomes a Doraisa as well.
That works out nice.
Okay.
That's different.
Okay.
That's different?
That may be a special case, like Barry is saying, that if it becomes as if the person is being Mekadesh Almanas, that the Rabbanan approves, so then it's like a Kiddushin Al Tanai, and Tanoim work me Doraisa. I think that's the taser that you're referring to. That the taser is coming to explain how Afke Inu's work, and he says because since we say Kedos Moshe V'Yisrael, it's like we're saying Almanas that the Chachamim. No, it's definitely relevant. It's part of this discussion, right? You do see over there the power of a Drabbanan. But over here, this Rambam is much more broad than that. This Rambam is saying that all Drabbanans are on a level of a Deraisa, and if anything, even higher because it's a Leisas and an Asay. So the man says, so why do we make it on a suffix? Why do we make it with Edis? Why do we find various other kulais that by Drabbanan is also to their Isis? And he also says, how about this kasha? When a person is over a Drabbanan, so we all know there's no Einshim Dereisa for, if Basin wants to give Makas Marajas, that's their prerogative, but there's no Einshim from the Torah. You'll never find in the Gemara, Chayav Malkus, Loike, for an Isid Drabbanan. Why not? Why isn't every Averi Drabbanon Chayav Malkus? Because you're over the Leisas of Leisasar. So you should have somebody, if he carries in a Carmelis, so he's not Chayav Chatos, he didn't do a Malacha Dereisa, but let him be Chayav Malkus for being over Leisasar. For that matter, even if somebody violates a mitzvah Drabbanon, like he doesn't light near Chanukah, why isn't he Chayav Malkus for being over Leisasar? Okay, so in the case of the Nerchanukah, maybe it's seen by Maisa, although the Lav sometimes has a Maisa, so but what about in the case of where he carries in a Carmelis? So the Ramban, so I won't, we'll leave out his answer. He says the truth is you could escape that Kasha with technicalities. There are a lot of technicalities, the third paragraph of Makkos, there's a lot of technicalities in the rules of Malkus, and maybe there's some technicality that can get you out of it. But in principle, there should have been Malkus, and that seems very surprising that you should get Malkus being around on a Drabbanon. And all the coolers that we find in Drabbanons. So you see throughout Shas that Drabbanons are less chomer than Dereises, and clearly that shows that the Rambam is wrong. I, like you said before, but the Rambam's just telling you over the Pesukim, right? The Pesuk says, Leisasar. The Rambam, no, of course, but what the Pesuk Leisasar means is when it comes to interpretations of the Torah, which were the first two categories that the Rambam himself mentioned. If the Rabbanan tell you this is what the Torah means, you have a question about what the Torah means, and the Rabbanan says it means this. The Torah says, don't do malacha, and the Rabbanan says it means to plow, to plant, etc. The Rabbanan tell you what's meant by the mitzvah in the Torah, and tefillin, and bas b'cholav, and all these examples that we've talked about. So on that, there's a leisasar deraisa, when they're interpreting what the Torah means. But when they're making up something new, which is not from the Torah, and they're not claiming it's from the Torah, they're just saying this is something that we want you to follow, so that's not included in the Leisasar, Midereisa. And therefore, it's a lower level. It's just the Rabbanon. And that's why we find coolers for it all over.
But you're still not listening to the Rabbanon.
So it's a Leisasar, the Rabbanon.
No, but you're still according to
this, right. But when the Torah said Leisasar, it was referring to a specific thing. For example, even the Rambam will agree that if you go to the Rabbanan and you ask them, which way is it from here to the grocery, and they say make a left at the corner and you make a right, you're not going to be around Leisasar. It's only things that are in their jurisdiction. So the Ramban is narrowing that jurisdiction, and it's only interpretations of the Torah. Mm-hmm. And the Rambam is expanding it more and saying, no, it's anything they say that has to do with keeping the mitzvahs, and that includes new mitzvahs and the Yisurim that they make up. So that's the machlokes. Now there is one Gemara which not just a Gemara, but something that we're very familiar with from daily life that strongly supports the Rambam. When we do a mitzvah d'rabbanan, like near Chanukah, we say a bracha. Asher k'dushan mitzvah v'tzivanu alahalok near Chanukah, alahalok near Shal Chanukah. We make that bracha by making Megillah. We make that bracha when we make an Erev, when we wash the Tehillas Yadayim, and or near Shabbos. And all of those are drabanans, right? The Tehillas Yadayim, I guess, is the most frequent, right? But all of those are drabanans. So the Gemara asks, Shabbos Daf Chaf Gimel, how could you say the word v'tzivanu? Heichan tzivanu? Where did he command us? We're saying Hashem sanctified us with his mitzvahs and he commanded us on Tehillas Yadayim. Where did he command us? And the Gemara answers, Leisasar. He commanded it in the pasuk of Leisasar. So that really seems like a mefurish Gemara that supports the Rambam, that there is Leisasar and drabanans. The Ramban says that Gemara is an asmachta. When it says Leisasar, it just means that there's an asmachta from Leisasar. That's not the real meaning of Leisasar, but midrabanan, we add that also into Leisasar. And we sort of take a liberty in using the word vitzivanu. Obviously, that's not the most straightforward reading of that Gemara, heichan tzivanu, but Leisasar, that Gemara would sound very much like the Rambam. But the Ramban feels like if I have to take a pick between making a doichik in one Gemara and going against a theme of hundreds of Gemaras, so you have to go with the theme of all of the Gemaras that show that Drabon is on less chumra than Jairaises. So therefore he disagrees with the Rambam. He says there's a weak brick in his fortress, the whole thing comes tumbling down, it's not true. The Drabon is not on the same level as the Jairaises, Drabon is a lower level.
What does the Rambam say about all these Gemaras?
Ah, so that's the next thing I will try to address. Good. So now the question is, so how is the Rambam going to explain that which we're more makel on drabanans, the suffix drabanan goes lakula?
That's the question.
So there is one theory out there, which is actually first suggested by the Ramban himself. When he's presenting all these kashas on the Rambam, he suggests an answer, but he uses it, he says it in a kind of derogatory language, as if to say, no one in their right mind would say this. He writes, "In tisakish v'toymar, if you'd want to be stubborn and insist that no, really the Rambam is right, only Susser does make every drabon into a deraisa, how would you explain why we're making on a suffix?" So he said, "You'd say that it's b'mechila utnai mehem, that it, meaning it was built into their legislation when they said you should light near Hanukkah. They actually spoke out. When you have a vadai, then you should light near Hanukkah. But if you have a suffix, whether you yetze already, then you shouldn't light near Hanukkah." Mm-hmm. Or to go in the opposite direction by an isser. They said, don't carry on a caramelist. What they meant, what they said was that if you're sure that it's a caramelist, or let's give a simpler example. If you're sure that it's Shabbos, then you're not allowed to carry on a caramelist. If you're not sure if it's Shabbos, then you are allowed to carry on a caramelist. Now, if they said that when they made the Isser Karmelis and all the other Yisroel they made, Besarif Pachalav, if you're sure that it's Besarif Pachalav, if you're sure that this piece of chicken touched the cheese, got cooked together with the cheese, then you're not allowed to eat it. But if you're not sure, then you are allowed to eat it. If they said when they assered the chicken that you're allowed to eat it if you're not sure about the cheese, then okay, then we understand why it's mutter, even though it's just as chomer as a deraisa, but it's stuff, it goes the kula because that's the way they set up the Isser. But the Ramban says, "Ve'in elu dvarim hagunim ve'loy shel ikar." He says this is not a clear way to think. It doesn't seem reasonable that when they made their mitzvahs and isurim, they said on each one that it should only be in effect when it's a vaday and it shouldn't apply when it's a safek. The simple way to take the halacha is that the Chama made their halachas, right? They said don't carry on a kamos. They said don't eat b'sar b'chal. They said light near chanukah, you know, and wash it till it's time. And then there's a rule that got superimposed on all of those things, that when a suffix arises, you don't have to listen to them. And that indicates that drabon is a less chomer than deraisas. So if you take it that way, then it's a steward to the Rambam. But in tisakesh, if you're going to be stubborn and insist the Rambam's right, so this is the way that you would deal with all of these kulas. You'd say that they were all built into the original legislation.
Or we could say that the Rambam meant to say that it's only on deraisa when it's a badai. In other words, not that there was the Das Chachomi, but his opinion that it's a Doraisa in the Rabbon, it's only when it's a Vada and not a Sofik.
What would make it, why would the Rambam how would the Rambam explain that the suffix are not included in the Deraisa? So he'd have to say this var, right? That it was
mechila. Well, down to them, right?
Right. That there was part of the original legislation. So the Ramban says that that's sort of an escape hatch for the Rambam.
Right, but doesn't ask on the Rambam.
Nothing. No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Nothing of.
He let this one go.
Yeah. Or he agreed. Maybe he agreed. So the Ramban says that's the escape hatch, how you get out of all the kashas, but don't take it. It's not a good plan. Now there are other mefarshim that actually, you know, that do take it. The Tashbates, who's one of the big speakers whenever we're talking about the Sefer HaMitzvahs, this is a Sefer HaMitzvahs discussion, and he wrote a Sefer called the Zayar HaRakia on the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and he says that he thinks the Rambam is very reasonable, that, yeah, it says Leisasa, Leisasa means you have to listen to the Chachamim, so every Drabban is a Deraisa. The Kasha of why we make on a Savik Drabbanon, he said, I think that the Ramban gave the answer, and it's very reasonable. We're making on Drabbanon because when the Chachamim made the Isurim, they said that we're only answering a Vada, we're not answering a Safek. So the Tashbit said he thinks he likes it. If you like it, good, so then you're happy. But the Ramban said that he thinks it's Ein Elu Dvarim Hagunim. It's not really clear thinking, and he doesn't like to go that way. So, okay, so that's, those are the two big opinions. The Machlaikis, Rambam and Ramban, Mamash, a very fundamental Machlaikis about every Durabbanan that we encounter. According to the Rambam, it's treated as a Deraisa. According to the Ramban, it's not. According to the Ramban, the Durabbanan is just a Durabbanan. And the big question on the Rambam is, why are we makel on Durabbanans? So there is a very interesting idea that the Chef Schmeitzer says. It's a little bit of a complicated idea. This is a more lumdish issue than usual. A warning, a disclaimer. The Chef Schmeitzer, says that there's another discussion in which the Rambam has a kind of original position. And I'm going to take that Rambam, put it together with this Rambam. The Rambam Lashitasai is going to make more sense. What's that other machlokes? So we referred already to the halacha that a Savik Deraisa goes L'chumra. Savik Derabanan goes L'chul, Savik Deraisa goes L'chumra. So let's take, for example, if you have a piece of meat and you don't know if it's Nevela or it's Shchuta. It's sitting on the table in front of you. You don't know, it might be Shechted, but it might be Nevela. You're not allowed to eat it, because Savik Deraisa L'chumra. Who said you're not allowed to eat it? This that we go l'chumra on a Savik Deraisa, is that a Din Deraisa? Did the Torah say that you're not allowed to eat it? Or is it a Din Drabbanan? So this is an achleikis between the Rama and most other Rishonim. The Rashba, well, I'll start with the Rashba, the Ran, and that I think is probably the more conventional, you know, thought, that it's a din deraisa. Suffolk deraisa l'chumra is a din deraisa. That which you're not allowed to eat, the suffolk nevela, is a din deraisa. If you eat that suffolk nevela, you're being over a din deraisa. But the Rambam argues. The Rambam says that that which suffolk deraisa goes l'chumra, true, it does go l'chumra, but it's only me drabbanan that goes l'chumra. The Rabbanan said that you're not allowed, that you have to take your sveikas very seriously when it's a deraisa. You have to stay away from a suffolk deraisa. But the Torah never demanded that. So if a person eats that Safik Nevela, he's not being over on a Deraisa, he's just being over on a Drabbanan. That's the Rambam's opinion. Unlike the Rashba and the Ran and many other Rishonim who argue and say, no, it's a Din Deraisa, that's Safik Deraisa, the Chumra. So Shmaisa says that we're going to put together this Rambam, this new Rambam, about Safik Deraisa, the Chumra being a Din Drabbanan, and the other Rambam about every Drabbanon being a Deraisa, which was Shver, because if every Drabbanon is a Deraisa, so how could we make on the Safek? It's like the Shmaitza, it's not so Shver anymore. Because if that which the Safek Deraisa L'chumra was a Din Deraisa, then there's no room to play around. The Torah demanded that you go L'chumra on a Deraisa. And according to the Rambam, that all these things are Deraisas, Caramelis and Besarif B'cholov, and Ner Chanukah are all Deraisas according to the Rambam. So how can we make on the Safek? There's no room to play around. But since, fortunately, the Rambam holds that the din that you go l'chumra on Sveikis is not a din Deraisa, it's a din Drabbanan. So when the Rabbanan made that din, one day they got up and they said, let's go l'chumra on Sveikis, that piece of legislation differentiated between Deraisas and Drabbanans. When the Chachamim came along and said, let's go l'chumra on a safek, they said, let's go l'chumra on a safek d'iraisa. They didn't say, let's go l'chumra on all safekas, let's go l'chumra on a safek of the things that come from the Torah. Not of the things that we made up, even though those things are just as important as the things in the Torah, because there's a light susser, but on those you don't have to go l'chumra on a safek. Other Rishonim wouldn't be able to say that because there was no piece of legislation that made a suffix, that a suffix derisa goes l'chumra. That's inherent. But according to the Rambam, that it's a din derabbanon that suffix derisa should go l'chumra. So then we can say that the Rabbanon were selective about when they made that din derabbanon. Mm-hmm. On derisas, they made a din derabbanon that the suffix should go l'chumra. But on derabbanons, they never made that din derabbanon that the suffix should go l'chumra. And therefore, we can be left with the din that suffix derabbanon stays l'kula. So the Shmaitza says that the putting together these two Rambams, that answers the Ramban's kasha. It's a, probably the,
so
the most...
every mitzvah at its core
yeah.
is incorporated, suffix is l'kula.
Right, right. The,
so whether
the,
it's
the inherent din of every suffix is to go l'kula. Right,
it's
to go l'kula. And then the Rabbanon said on certain things we want you to go l'chumra on a deraisa, and they we want you to go l'chumra on a suffix. And they only said that about the original derisas, not on the leisaser derisas.
Where does the Shemaitza see that the Torah says that on a suffix you should go l'chumra?
No, the Torah never says it. He's according to
the Torah says.
He's saying that the Rambam holds that which you go l'chumra on a suffix is only derabbanon.
Right.
So the Torah never said it. So now the there is a machlokes we showed him. The Rashba holds that it's a din derisa. But according to the Rambam, it's only a din derabbanon. And the Shmaitz is working with that Rambam.
Yeah. The Torah doesn't say perish it, but right. Suffolk what to do
right.
with it. So there's a machlokes rishonim.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good.
Yeah, so this
Shmaitz
is
all about Sfeikus, right?
Right. This is right up his alley.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of the Sefer is about Sfeikus, and this is, I would venture to say, is probably the most well-known Vart in the Sefer Shev Shmaitza. This putting together these two Rambams, the Rambam about Suffolk Dairy Rice, the Chumra being a Din Drabbanon, and the Rambam about all Drabbanons being Dairy Rice, and that was so schwer on the face of it, but when you put it together with this other Rambam, the Shittasa, it comes out good.
Does the Rambam answer himself? Why he goes against all the Gemaras?
No, he didn't answer it. He left it to us to answer. He left it to other people to answer that. So the Shmaitz is trying to step up to the plate and take the challenge. Right, so he has to have an answer. We're trying to figure out what that answer might be. So the Shmaitza gave me his suggestion. Okay, so now, Reb Shimon Shkop, in his Sefer Shari Yosher, he responds to the Shmaitza. He says that although it seems so geschmack and even like clever to put these two rabbis together, make a lishitasi out of it, he said it doesn't work. And he said because there's an oversimplification here, because when we talk about a subject going l'kula, so we have to drill down a little deeper and identify what do we really mean when we say a subject goes l'kula. And it can mean two different things. When we say, let's say you have a piece of meat and you don't know if it's shchut or nevela, so, and according to the Rambam, the subject goes l'kula. Whereas midiraisa, meaning the essential din of that stuff goes to go l'kula, whereas according to the Rashba was that it goes l'chumra. So it's clear that means according to the Rashba, there's a din deraisa that you're not allowed to eat it. According to the Rambam, there is no such din deraisa that you're not allowed to eat it. Midiraisa, you are allowed to eat it. But let's say then 10 minutes later, so you ate it, you had a suffix, and you ate it. And 10 minutes later, someone comes in and tells you what it was. And he tells you that it was, well, let's go this way. He tells you that it was really kosher. Okay, so if it's kosher, it's good news, right? So nothing's wrong, right?
Not
Everybody
really,
should be happy.
Not really, because it's a time issue. When he first ate it, it was a suffix for him.
And right,
the
right.
The fact that it's been resolved is a secondary issue.
So he may still be in trouble, you mean?
Yeah.
So I would say that that's for sure true according to the Rashba. According to the Rashba, since there's a din deraisa, that suffix deraisa goes l'chumra, and the truth is, even according to the Rambam, you have this din midirabanon, but we're dealing now on, we're trying to focus on the din deraisa. Really, even if you're told afterwards that it was kosher, you still did an aveira. What aveira did I do? I didn't eat nevela. No, you did the Avera of going Lakula on a Safek Deraisa. There's a din that you have to go Lachumra on a Safek Deraisa, and you went Lakula. And even if you got lucky, and it turned out that you didn't eat Avela, you ate Shchuta, but you still did an Avera. According to the Rashba, that Avera is a Deraisa. You were over on an Isser Deraisa of going Lakula on a Safek.
But not eating
trifle. Right. You're not over the Isser Deraisa of eating Avela, but you're over the Isser Deraisa of... of going the kula on a safek. According to the Rambam, we could also say that you were over that isur, but only on a drabbanan level. Let's try to stay focused on the deraisa level. According to the Rambam, midaraisa at least, you could breathe a sigh of relief, right? If you ate that piece of meat, and then after you found out it was really shchuta, so you could say, okay, good, I didn't do anything wrong today. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say the other way around. Let's say you ate that piece of meat, and then you find out 10 minutes later, it was really Nevela. It was really Nevela. So now, did you get the Isser? Did you do an Avera Deraisa of eating Nevela? And here, Zokter Shimon, even according to the Rambam, yes, you did. The answer is, you got an Avera, you got the Isser of eating Nevela. Because even though Mideraisa, Savik goes Lakula, that doesn't mean, it's not what he calls a Chalois Heter. Oh, it's a suffix that makes it mutter. Suffix the rights of lakula just means you're allowed to take your chances. And if it ends up that it was shchuta, then good, you did nothing wrong. If it ends up nevela, then you're over an isser. Now, in the case of nevela, you know, that's the example I started with, but maybe it's not such a... In the case of nevela, it's not going to make any nafkaminas because there's no... consequence, right? There's no punishment for eating the vela other than malchus. Malchus is only for amazing, and you're surely not amazing. But let's switch over our example to Chil Shabbos, because over there there's a chiyuv chatas for a shoygeg. So a person was doing malacha, he thought it wasn't Shabbos yet. Okay, let's say he's in a house with no windows. Okay, he doesn't know what his manim, and he can't remember. Did Shabbos this week start at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock? He didn't remember. It was 7:30. He wants to turn on a light. And he knows that he doesn't remember. Was it 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock? So according to the Rambam, now again, let's back up. According to the Rashba, you're not allowed to turn on that light. That's an Issa Deraisa. According to the Rambam, there's no Issa Deraisa. Turn on the light and hope for the best. And if you find out that Shabbos is 8 o'clock, you did nothing wrong. But let's say you find out that Shabbos is 7 o'clock, then you chayav chatas. You are chayav b'chatas, meaning that when the Rambam says that a suffik deraisa goes lakula minatayra, it doesn't mean that because it's a suffik that makes it mutter. It doesn't become mutter. It just means that you could take your treat, you could behave however you want and deal with the consequences. As opposed to the Rashba that says the Tayra gave a rule about how to behave, you have to go lachumra. According to the Rambam, the Torah made no such rule. So you can behave however you want. If you're a risk taker, go for it. But you might have an Avera on your hand. If you want to be more cautious, so stay away. It's up to you. So if you're Aisa Lakula. But that doesn't make anything mutter. If it's really Shabbos, you'll be Chayav Achatas. If it's really Nevela, you're eating Nevela, right? With whatever consequences, let's say, like Abay Tshuva. The Avera is still an Avera, just you're allowed to take your chances. And if it was mutter, then you did nothing wrong. But if it's also, you were on the Isser. He brings a Raya from a Gemara. The Gemara is a little bit of a complicated Gemara. There isn't any Gemara that talks about this exact case, but I'm giving this mashal as the equivalent of a Gemara that he talks about, where it's clear that you'll be chayav achatas if you did something, even though you were allowed to do it based on suffik deraisa lakula. Again, the Rambam's rule that suffik deraisa min atayra goes lakula. So you were allowed to do. You were allowed to turn on the light at 7:30 if Shabbos was either 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. You're not sure. You were allowed to turn on the light mideraisa, but nevertheless, you'll be chayav achatas if you do. So that means that the din of suffik deraisa lakula, it doesn't go so far as to say that it's because it's a suffix, it becomes mutter. Suffix by Silakula just means that it doesn't become mutter. There's no issue, there's nothing wrong with trying, but you have to deal with the consequences. On the other hand, the din, that suffix drabbanon lakula, that goes much further. Suffix drabbanon lakula means that if there's a suffix about it, if that's a chalois heter on it. There's nothing wrong with doing a suffik drabbanon, and no matter what the emes is klapi shmaya, even if it's really usur, it's mutter for you because you have a safek. Now, how do I have a raya that that's pshat by the safek d'rabbanan? It's a little bit hard to bring a raya because we were just talking about consequences l'gabi einshim, but you really never have consequences for einshim, at least on the d'raisa level, when we're talking about d'rabbanan. But there's a, listen to the following gemara. If somebody, if the gemara is talking about Erev Tchumen, right? Yeah, I'm allowed to go 2,000 amos on Shabbos to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. I want to go 4,000 amos to the east, so I'm allowed to take an Erev, that means I take some bread, and I put it down 2,000 amos away to the east. That makes it, that's my now, my Machon Shvisa. And I'm allowed to go 2,000 amos in all directions from that place, which means that now from my home, I could go 4,000 amos to the east. That's Erev Tchumen. No, you don't have to eat it. But it has to be available to eat when Shabbos starts. You don't have to eat it, but it has to be there to eat, which means that if I put it there and I come home to take a shower right before Shabbos, and then the birds come and eat it, so by the time Shabbos started, it was gone, then there's no Erev.
Same thing with Erev Tashlim.
Does that have an Erev around it? 2,000 amos away, you can't lift it up. I always wondered about that. If it's on Shabbos and it's 2,000 amos away.
Right.
So it's out someplace. You can't lift it up.
Can't walk.
Why do you want to lift it up?
You could lift it if you wanted to eat it.
Yeah, you could eat it.
You could lift it. You just can't walk.
It's all done. It's all done.
You could pick it up.
In other words, you just pick it up and eat it and
you mean because it's sort of carrying.
Yeah.
Right, but you can't you can't walk around with it. You can't walk four amos.
You just have to stand right. Stand,
pick it up. Right, or unless it's in Rosh Hashayachid. I mean, it might be in Rosh Hashayachid. But and then you can walk around as much as you want. If it's in Rosh Hashayachid, then you have to stay within four amos. But you could eat it.
Erev Tavshilin, same problem if it got consumed before.
That's right. Erev Tavshilin also. It has to be present when Shabbos starts. Right. If you're making Erev...
supposed to eat.
Yeah,
well, but on Shabbos, but it has to be present. I'm sorry, not when Shabbos starts, but when Yom Tov starts. The Erev Tavshilin has to be present when Yom Tov starts.
Can somebody else rely on your Erev Tanchum?
Erev Tchumen?
Yeah. Like an Erev Tanchum?
No.
I know this guy put the piece of bread.
No. You can make somebody a Shliach to make an Erev for you, but if he made his own Erev, that doesn't help for you.
Doesn't help for somebody else.
So now the Gemara talks about it has to still exist when Shabbos starts. Now when does Shabbos start? So as we all know, that's a tricky question. I just gave an example where somebody just didn't know Shabbos this week is at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. But even if you're very learned and you have a calendar and you know all the zmanim, but there's always a built-in suffix when does Shabbos start? That's what we call Bein Hashmasha. It's between sunset and when the stars come out. It's a suffix yom, suffix laila. So we want our, if you put an Erev somewhere, again, whether we're talking about an Erev Tavshilin or an Erev Tchumen or an Erev Chatzeris, right, all of them, you want it to be there for the whole Bein HaShemashais. It can't come after, you can't put it there after Shabbos started. It had to be there already when Shabbos starts. It can't be removed or eaten before Shabbos started. So it needs to be there for the whole duration of Bein HaShemashais. Let's say, just say for argument's sake, that Shkia is 7 o'clock and Tzeizik HaRavim is 7:15. So if you put out an Erev, or you make an Erev, it has to be there from 7 to 7:15. If you only put it there at 7:05, well, maybe Shabbos started at 7 o'clock, so it wasn't there when Shabbos started. If you eat it at 7:10, or maybe Shabbos is starting at 7:15, so it wasn't there when Shabbos started. So it needs to be there for the whole duration of Ein HaShemashes. So the Gemara in Erevin turns to the following scenario. A person is putting out two Erevs because he was made a Shliach. Right? He's, two people asked him to put out an Erev for them. So he goes and he, right, 2,000 amos to the east, and he puts out these two Erevs for these two friends of his. They both want to go to the same Kiddush, that's 2,000 amos away to the, 4,000 amos away to the east, so he's making an Erev for them 2,000 amos away. But he doesn't have his act together so well, he doesn't put it all down at one time. He gets there at 5 to 7, and he puts down one of the Erevs, and then he goes away, and then he comes back 10 minutes later at 5 after 7, and he puts down the other Erev. And when he comes and he puts down the other Erev, the first Erev is already gone. So the first Erev was there at 7 o'clock, but it wasn't there anymore by 7:15. The second Erev was there at 7:15, but it wasn't there yet at 7 o'clock. Which means both of these are Safek. Now, Tchumen is Drabonon. Not to go 4,000 amos to the east is an Issa Drabonon. The whole Erev is a, you know, solving a problem Drabonon. So the Gemara says, Safek Drabonon Lakula. You're allowed to go. You're allowed to go 4,000 amos because
what's the suffix? wasn't there.
No, but he wasn't there at 7 time. O'clock, but it was there at 7:15, and maybe Shabbat started at 7:15.
Wait,
let's start with Reuven's. Reuven's was there at 7 o'clock, but it was gone by 7:15. But maybe Shabbat started at 7 o'clock, so he's good. Shimon's was there at 7:15, but not at 7 o'clock, but maybe Shabbat starts at 7:15. So he's good. So the Gemara says they could both walk to the east. But so Rambam brings down this Gemara in his list of kashas on the Rambam. He says this is a particularly strong Gemara because it is not just a Safek Rabbanan and Lakula. And if it was just one of them, and the Gemara said, oh, Safek, he was there at 7 o'clock, it wasn't there at 7:15, so there's a 50-50 chance maybe it was good, maybe it wasn't, but it's a Rabbanan, so Safek Rabbanan and Lakula, you're allowed to walk 4,000 Amos. So that would be easy. But in this case, the Gemara had that there were two Erevs going, same, and one of them has to be bad. And nevertheless, we allow both of them to walk the 4,000 Amos because Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula. So L'Chere, that Gemara is a Raya that Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula doesn't mean take your chances, because if it's just a matter of take your chances, we can't allow both of them to go because we know someone's doing an Aveira. How do we go and allow the person, somebody to do an Aveira? Teretz is because it became Mutter. Mm-hmm. Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula makes it Mutter. That if you have a Safek Isser Tchumen, that's mutter. It's not that you could take your chances. It's mamash mutter. So, which means that Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula means something completely different than the Safek D'Raisa, which goes L'Kula Min HaTorah, according to the Rambam. The Shmaitz's whole Shikol Torah was to put together these two things. That we had a kasha, why does Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula? Oh, according to the Rambam, that a Safek D'Raisa is L'Kula, so it's just remaining with that halacha. Right, and they never made the extra halacha to make a gold chumra, so the rabbanim just remain with that halacha. For the Dr. Shimon, it's not the same halacha. They both use the word safek lakula. Safek deraisa menatera is lakula according to the Rambam. Safek rabbanim is lakula, but they don't mean the same thing. Safek rabbanim lakula means it's a chalois heter on the safek rabbanim. Safek deraisa lakula just meant you're allowed to take your chances. So they, since they clearly mean two different things, we can't use one to explain the other. Right, the lishit tasei doesn't work.
It's like a case of bottle conditions.
Yeah.
How you know that Hazar is there, but yeah. The Rabbanan said it's mutter now because it's Baruch Mashishim.
I think that then is Deraisa. The Torah says that that's allowed.
The Torah says it?
Right, I mean the Torah really says more. The Torah says that things are Batal Baroiv, but then there's also a rule of sometimes you need more than that because of the tam, but at the point that there's no more tam, that's the idea of shishim. At the point that there's no more tam, then it's mutter that could all be dinim deraisa. Some of that is questionable, but we're not going to go into that any now. So
consequences. Safek D'Rabbanan is no consequences.
Right, right. So Reb Shimon says that we need
No consequences. Good.
Right. So Reb Shimon says we need a different eitzah. To explain again, to back to the drawing board, the Rambam holds Lysasser makes everything into a deraisa. Everything, all the drabanas are deraisa. So why do we go lakula on a Safek drabana? So Reb Shimon Shkarp and the Meshech Chachma, they both machav into the same idea. They both say the same bar. Now the two of them were really they were contemporaries, and they both were from the Gedalia Litta at the beginning of the 20th century. Reb Shimon was Maharich Yamim, he died in 1940, Meir Simcha died in the 20s, I think 1926 maybe. They were contemporaries of each other, they were also both Kehanim, and they both say the same idea with the same Mar Mokayim. They both bring a Rai or a Makar from the following halacha. Now, this halacha is going to sound like we just went totally into left field, because this whole shiur we've been talking about like the most fundamental things in the Torah, Deraisa, Derabbanans. Here's a halacha from Hilchas Mechira, a Rambam in Hilchas Mechira, right, about a dispute between a seller and a buyer. The story is like this. If somebody buys meat from the butcher, and he brings it home, and the meat is spoiled, so of course he can bring it back and get a refund. Now, let's say he can't bring it back. Let's say he ate the meat and he discovered that it's spoiled because it made him sick. He could still get a refund. Even though the butcher is going to say, what do you mean? But you ate the meat. You had you got a good supper out of it. It's not a good supper. I wasn't nen from the meat. It made me sick. So you have to give me a refund. So that's clear when we deal with gashmiyus problems in the meat. it's you're entitled to a refund, and you don't have to bring the meat back. I mean, if it's gone, if you still have it, bring it back. But if it's gone, the fact that you already quote unquote enjoyed it, that doesn't help, because it's not called enjoyment, because you ate spoiled meat. That's not nobody wants to do that. That's not called enjoyment. So what about if it's a ruchnius sticker problem with the meat? I went to a butcher. It was supposed to be a reliable butcher. He had a hechsher, but mistakes happen, and it turned out that this piece of meat that I bought was really a treifa. Let's say, you know, I didn't know at the time, but then, you know, an email alert goes out later that night. If anybody bought meat in this butcher shop on this day, the animal that he shecht in the morning, we just discovered it was a treifa. So you come back to the shop. So this is Mefurish Gemara. That he has to give you a refund, and even though you already ate it, just like by the spoiled meat, even though he'll say, "What do you mean you didn't get anything from it? You paid $100 and you got nothing. Well, you got a supper out of it." He says, "I don't call that supper. I'm a from Yid, and my whole life I'm mice and nefesh to only eat kosher. So there's no hanah for me that I ate this non-kosher meat. So you get a full refund even if you don't have the meat anymore." Adkan, that's the Gemara in Baba Metzia, and the Rambam brings it down in Hilchos Mechira. But then the Rambam adds a chiddush. And this it doesn't say in the Gemara, it's the Rambam's chiddush. The Rambam says, V'yeroa li, I think that that's all true if it was asur with the nisr deiraisa. But if the meat that was discovered to be non-kosher was really only non-kosher with an isur drabanan, so then if you still have it, you bring it back to the butcher and he gives you back your money. But if you ate it already, then he could say, no, I'm going to keep the money because you kept the supper. You were nene and you're chayv. Now, there are some details, blah, dafka. All the money is a little bit of a compromise because you don't have to pay the full price. But basically, the Rambam says that the butcher could then tell him, you were nene, so I don't have to reimburse you because you got a supper out of it. And the shayla is, what's the difference between the deraisa and the derabanan? I was nene because my stomach is full, but I didn't want to eat food that wasn't kosher. So the Nesiva says that there's a big chiddush here in this Rambam. When you ate the meat that's not kosher, in both cases, you weren't amazed, you were a shaygeg. So, but that which you tell the butcher, I want a reimbursement, and don't tell me I got a supper out of it, but I didn't get a supper, I got an aveira. That's all true for deiraisas, because on a deiraisa, it's an aveira whether you're amazed or a shaygeg. Amazed is a big aveira, shaking is a small aveira, but we know that. We look in the Torah, we see that there's consequences even for shaking. Not for every case, right? You know, certain things you bring a chatas when you do an aveira with shaking. Certain things you don't. Cases, the truth is that almost all cases of non-kosher meat, you're not gonna bring a chatas, but there are some where you would, and even where you wouldn't, the fact that we sometimes find that you bring a chatas for a shaking, that means that a shaking on a deiraisa is still an aveira. If you're not chayav chatas, you still have to do tshuva. It's an aveira. But when it comes to drabanons, then the aveira is only if you did it b'mezid. If you did it b'shegig, it's not an aveira at all. So if you ate this meat that was aser midrabanon, and you come back and you say, wait, but I didn't have a supper, I had an aveira. He says, no, you had a supper. It was a perfectly fine supper. It wasn't kosher, it was only midrabanon, and you were a shegig. And meat that's also midrabanon and you ate it b'shegig is not an aveira. If it's not an aveira, there's no reason why I should give you a refund. That's what the Nesiva says, that on drabanons, there's only an aveira for a mezid. It's not an aveira for a shegig. So what's the pshat? Why is it only an aveira for a mezid, not for a shegig? So what Meir Simcha and Reb Shimon say is that the Rambam is right a drabanon is a deraisa. It's just like a deraisa, because the Torah said leisaser, and leisaser means you have to listen to drabanons. But when you don't listen, so what are you doing wrong? What are you violating? So I think Barry, you were saying this all at the beginning of this year. What are you violating when you don't listen? So if it's a deraisa, so all deraisas, the metzias of the isra is be'etzem. It's a real metzias. Meaning, if the Torah said that such a food is usr, so the food is bad. It becomes I'll say on a ruchniyistic level, we consider there to be a flaw in the food itself, and therefore to eat it is an aveira because you're eating something bad. And you know, it's easiest to say it when you're talking about machalas asurais, By other aveiris, let's say malacha on Shabbos, we'll say the maisa. The maisa is inherently bad. Right? Carrying an rishus harabim is inherently bad. You're doing something which is a bad thing.
The maisa itself.
But, the cheftza or the maisa is be'etzem bad. By dirabanans, which are they're also midiraisa, but because of what? Because of the pasuk of loisaser. So what's wrong with doing this maisa? It's not because it's a bad maisa. It's just because you're disobeying what the Chachamim told you. The problem is in the disobedience. And Rabbi Meir Simcha adds a mashal. He says, I'll give a mashal that'll make it much more clear. First, I'm gonna adapt this mashal a little bit just to give one that's more familiar to us. You know, if your father asks you to bring me a Coke. So we know you have to listen. So Mr. Deraisa, bring me a Coke. So you have to bring him a Coke. Does that mean that there's a Ratzin Hashem, a Ratzin HaTorah, that your father should drink the Coke? Coke's not so good for you, right? Maybe the Torah, maybe Hashem would have been happier if he asked for a seltzer. But that's not your business, right? So you have to bring him the Coke. But it's not that bringing the Coke is inherently good. It's listening to your father that's inherently good. And in this case, the way you listen to your father is by bringing the Coke. But what's good about this mice is not the mice itself, but because it's obedience, it's showing obedience to your father. Now, the mashal that he brings is much more dramatic. There's a mitzvah of listening to the king. Right? There's a very serious aveira of Meirid B'Malchus, and the most famous story of Shimon ben Gera, that David HaMelech told Shlomo HaMelech, you should take care of Shimon ben Gera. I mean, you know, you make sure that he gets punished. And so Shlomo HaMelech contrived a plan. He told Shimon ben Gera, you should never leave Yerushalayim. And the day that you leave Yerushalayim, you will then be disobeying the king. You'll be chayav misa. And eventually Shimon ben Gera did leave Yerushalayim, and Shlomo HaMelech killed him. So Meir Simcha then strings together a few Agadat Gemaras. It says that as long as Shimon ben Gera was alive, he had a positive influence on Shlomo HaMelech, and so Shlomo HaMelech never married non-Jewish women. But the day that Shimon ben Gera was put to death, he married Bas Parai. And there's another Gemara that says that the day that Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Parai, Gavriel came and was not kona into the Mediterranean Sea, and from that sprouted the Talia Shal Yavon, right, which means to say that the seeds of the Churban were planted when Shlomo HaMelech married the Bas Parai. So that means that was there a Ratzin Hashem that Shlomo HaMelech should forbid Shimon ben Gera to leave Yerushalayim and Shimon ben Gera shouldn't leave Yerushalayim? Of course not. Hashem obviously was not happy with this whole thing. Hashem would have been much happier if Shimon ben Gera was allowed to leave Yerushalayim. So there was nothing inherently wrong with Shimon ben Gera leaving Yerushalayim. But it was a Meirid B'Malchus. What was wrong was just the disobedience. When we do day raisas, right, what's wrong with doing malach on Shabbos? It's not just because Hashem said not to, and now when you do it, you're disobeying. The malacha is be'etzem bad. There's something wrong with the maisa kishal atzmai. But when it comes to the rabbanans, loisaser is just like listening to your father, and just like listening to the king. There's nothing be'etzem good about the coke. There's nothing be'etzem bad about Shimon ben Gera leaving Yerushalayim. So there's nothing be'etzem about the Ner Chanukah or about the Basarif B'Cholov or carrying in the Carmelis. There's nothing wrong with carrying in a Carmelis, but somebody that carries in a Carmelis is disobeying the Chachamim. So the Aveira is strictly the disobedience. That's the title of the words of the Torah. Loi sasam in adavar. You were sarm in adavar. So it's all about the disobedience. Dr. Reb Shimon, if that's true, so then we understand very well why the Nesivos would say it's only for a maizen, not for a shoygeg. If you're a shoygeg, so a shoygeg is not being disobedient. You didn't know. So there's no loi sasar at all. That's why it's not an aver b'shegig. When it's a day rice, so even though you had no ill intent, you didn't do anything disrespectful, but you carried an Rosh Rabbim. That's some bad. You're carrying an Rosh Rabbim is a forbidden act. But carrying an Akamos is not a forbidden act. It's just ignoring what the Chum tell you that's a forbidden act. And if you didn't know that it was a Karmos, or you didn't know that it was Shabbos, so you didn't know the Chum told you you're not allowed to carry there, so then you're not ignoring the Chachamim, so then it's not a forbidden act. So that's the Hezbollah and the Nesivos. Hold on, that's a little bit off topic. So that's the Hezbollah and the Nesivos, that explains why the Rambam differentiates between the butcher's meat that was also midrabanan and the butcher's meat that was also midrabanan. And Sivi says because if it's also midrabanan, if it's also midrabanan, then the shogeg is not an aveira. So this is the hesbam why the shogeg is not the aveira, is not an aveira. So then Reb Shimon and Reb Meir Simcha, they both take it a step further and they say, if that's true about a shogeg, so maybe that's also true about a safek. A safek is not, you're not being disobedient. You just don't know what the Chacham said in this case. If the Chacham tell me what to do, if I have clear instructions from the Chacham, I'll jump off the roof to the, you know, I'll do anything that the Chacham tell me. But if I don't know what they told me, then I don't know if I can do anything. So since the whole mitzvah is obedience to the Chachamim, so it's mistaber that that's only when there's a vade, because then you have clear instructions. On a real day, where, right, let's say Malacha on Shabbos, you may not know, but there's a chance that it's Malacha, and if it's Malacha, then it's an Aveira, then it's a bad thing, so you have to avoid it. But on a Drabanon, where even if this is what they said not to do, but what's wrong with it? Not the Maisa Kishala Atzmai, but only because I'm not listening to them, that's the only thing that's wrong with it. So then, if you don't know what they said, then we can't call you not listening. So therefore, the suffix is not going to be Asar. To say this is the hesber why the Rambam, again, the Rambam who holds that every Drabbanon becomes their rice because of Leis Asar. But the big kash was, so why we make a lot of suffix? The answer is because since the Aveira is not Be'etzem, it's only because of disobedience, so that doesn't apply by Makom suffix.
Well, where's the Mishnah Chachma?
Mishnah Chachma is on the Pasuk, yeah, in Parashat Shoftim.
In the Chumash.
Yeah, in the Chumash, right.
Pasuk.